This is an In It For The Kicks special feature.
Yeah, Truth came about in about 2007, I think it was. Basically, up to that point, the three of us had been running drum bass under the name Urban Motion, and we ran a lot of gigs down in Christchurch. We met this guy, Marla, come through, just hang out in the studio for a day and played us a bunch of music. We played in our music, and at the end of the day, he left us a CD of a sort of prototype Deep Medius label. It was like a prototype of his label. He's one of the guys that invented this thing called dubstep, which at the time we'd never even really heard of. But the next day we were in the studio and listened to his CD through a few times and just decided that it was all pretty inspiring. So we just changed the tempo down from sort of 174 down to 140 BPM. Just got creative, and we'd never looked back really. For about a year after that, we never made another drum and bass track. The next, three nights later, Marla came back through Christchurch, and we gave him a CD of five tracks that we'd made over the last 3 days, and he gave us a call probably a week or so later, flying back to the UK, all excited. Oh, I love this tune, man, blah, blah, blah. And then maybe a week later after that, we saw some YouTube clip of a night called DMZ in London, of him playing our track and rewinding it, which is where the DJ stops the track and pulls it all the way back to the start and plays it again, and we run it twice, and the crowd was singing along. We were like, whoa. And so basically that's how Truth started, really. We came up with a name straight away and never really looked back. For the first year we existed, we only wrote our tunes. We never played a gig. And then after about a year or so, we found our sound and really were happy with where we were going and just switched everything up. And the three of us became Truth. Probably about a year, maybe 2 years later, we pared it down to just the two of us who are with Truth now. That's me, I'm Tristan, and Dre. And currently I'm based in New Zealand. Dre's based in Los Angeles. And we just bounce around the world all the time. Yeah, things started to go pretty crazy for us. Pretty much with our first track, we'd written it, was called The Fat Man. And because we had Marla playing it, opening all the sets with the track, we all of a sudden had all these dubstep fans hitting up our MySpace page saying, are you guys the new guys on Marla's label, blah, blah, blah. And we were kind of blown away because we didn't even really have an understanding of the scene as it was, and whether that was a big deal or it didn't matter. But it turned out that it was a really big deal to have someone like Marla playing your tracks. And we ended up having a pretty reasonable following in the UK and Europe when we had no one in New Zealand or Australia or anywhere close by who even knew who we were. And that was a really massive kickstart to do a tour of Europe, which went really well. And then we kind of, for a couple of years after that, we kind of released a bunch of tracks and we were part of the scene. And, it was quite cool because we were accepted by all the UK kind of original people. But then we started touring the USA and we saw this potential for something even crazier. So we both moved to the States about 3 or 4 years ago, started our night there, and then we saw a huge shift because the sound we were making was what we call dubstep, but in the States, dubstep was this crazy, mid-range tear-out sound, which is very aggressive, and really young kids are into it, whereas our demographic is slightly older and more people who think of themselves as more music connoisseurs, even though really it's just music and it's just a bit of fun at the end of the day. But we had this niche where our sound was nothing like anything else. And so that move to the States actually was really beneficial to us. And all of our friends and contemporaries were like, why don't you guys move to London where, you fit in? And we just, it was like, well, we're the same as everyone else there. But if we go to the States, it's we're unique. And yeah, it's still to this day. It's just been growing steadily since then. And last year we released the album on a label called Firepower, which is one of the sort of top sort of bass music labels in the States, up there with with Owls and people like that. And that's just been huge for us, having that massive platform to be launched from. So we've got all these kids that would never listen to our music that love our tracks. And I'm sure lots of hate it too. But yeah, that's been the best thing for us. It's actually really important for us to have vinyl releases. We thought for a while there that it wasn't such a big deal. We've always had vinyl releases ever since Truth started. Every single track pretty much we've released has been on vinyl, with a few exceptions. And, you know, we've built up quite a following as far as vinyl collectors that get all our records. And then last year when we decided to release our album on Firepower Records, which is a digital label, we thought, oh, well, you know, no one's going to care, we thought. So we just decided, yeah, okay, we'll just release it as a digital album, and that'll be fine. And we just had this overwhelming torrent of feedback from people saying, you know, you've got to release it on vinyl. People were like, just asking, like, every single time we posted a link or posted a thing saying, hey, we're releasing an album soon, people would say, there's a vinyl, right? To the point where we realised we had to do a vinyl release. But of course, we thought this label wasn't going to be into the idea of vinyl, so we broached it with them, and they were awesome. They were totally keen for us to do it. They were down to take all our ideas on board. They let us use our own mastering engineer, everything pretty much. We're in full control pretty much, which was amazing. And yeah, the feedback from our fans was great. And the best thing about that particular release and the ARC as well was that because this is a label which hasn't got a huge amount of experience releasing vinyls, they kind of gave us a free rein as far as what to do with it. So I've always thought, you know, it's a bit of a waste of the vinyl format, just having one track per side, when you've got, you know, 8 or 9 good minutes of sound before you're compromising on volume or quality. And most tracks nowadays are sort of 4 minutes long. So I've always wanted to do a release where there's a track on one side, then there's like 4 minutes of crazy ambient noise and like soundscapes and all that kind of stuff. That's yet to happen. But with that release, we put you know, a few tracks per side, and then ended it with Lock Groove, where the last track just never ends. And you know, every time I've ever like broached that subject with any other label, they have just shut it down, not being keen. Which is kind of, to me, is like, it's stupid. But yeah, I mean, basically, we realised vinyl is very important for our fan base. And we're just constantly getting bombarded with basically people's pictures showing how many records of ours they own. I mean, we've released probably 30 vinyls, maybe. I'm just looking at them right now, trying to figure it out. And some people have them all, which is amazing. I don't have them all. There's a couple which we ended up sending, and they sold out. So yeah, we love vinyl. And we've been collectors for years. We used to collect drum and bass. I mean, you should see how many records we have just sitting around. Even though we don't really play them anymore, it's just something that we'll never get rid of them. But in one day, probably, you know, 20 years from now, looking back and get out the turntables again and start mixing. Yeah, we'll always just keep writing music that we're into at the time. We're not trying to follow any particular trends, and we're not trying to create any trends either. We're just trying to do what we enjoy. And I've always thought that it's very important for an artist to have their own sound, but I also think that you shouldn't force it. I think that a person needs to just do what comes naturally to them because it's them doing it. And with Andre and I, of course, there's two of us, both have our own tastes, both have things we like and dislike, so that's where our sound comes from. And with changing the tempo up, we're not doing that to try and tap into any new markets or anything like that. We're just doing that because we feel like it at the time. We'll get together for a few weeks in the studio and just feel like making stuff at a certain BPM. We'll just feel like making deep, minimal, moody stuff. And then the next time we get together, we want to make something that's kind of heavy hitting for our next tour that's coming up. Or, you know, there's a few months there where we just really felt like making stuff at about 125 BPM. And some of it you could say was house, some of it's just, who knows what it is, it's just weird music. But we don't, yeah, we're not really trying to follow a trend. And as far as dubstep is concerned, I mean, it's been interesting to watch its evolution from London back in the day, when it seemed like it had got massive, and it almost seemed as if it had peaked and was about to come down the other side, when all of a sudden the US market just took it in a whole other direction. And to, you know, compared to the UK, what we thought was massive, I mean, it was 100 times bigger, you know, Grammys and all kinds of stuff like that. And so, and that kind of peaked hard and crashed. And I mean, you know, of course, when something gets that massive and that mainstream and gets that many people trying to emulate it, but only a certain aspect, of course it crashed. And I mean, we've just kept going, doing what we do. And it's kind of been steady for us, really. It's just, you know, steadily, our profile has, you know, gone up without us really trying, as far as, you know, we haven't been trying to fill any niche, as it were, aside from just keeping doing what we're into. And we realised, probably about 4 years ago, we really realised that we're just a couple of big boys who like kind of dark music. Up to that point, we just kind of, you know, we did a bit of everything, and then all of a sudden we realised, actually, it's kind of sounds stupid, but we just love this kind of music. We love playing it. We love being serious when we're, like, you know, mixing. We're not really serious in the studio, but it's something about it. I was driving to it, driving around and feeling like I'm just kind of on a serious mission. The dynamic between Andre and I, as far as like writing music, has definitely evolved quite a lot over the last couple of years. We spent maybe 8 or 9 years, 3 or 4 days in the studio together in New Zealand. Then we moved, both moved to the States, where we kind of lived a bit more separately, and then now we're living on different continents. But actually, the productivity has almost increased in some ways, because we just use Dropbox. So what we do is we're both working on tracks. At the end of the session, we'll chuck them in the Dropbox. Then the other person has access to the files, they have access, they can work on it if they want to. And it's kind of democratic in the respect that, say, I start a track, and then Drake takes it and then works on it and deletes all my favourite parts. That's fine. That's what he's done. And now then the track comes back to me, and now I've got to work on it as it is, and vice versa. So it's quite a cool thing, because, you know, you get to hear a track almost with fresh ears a lot of the time. And you can hear instantly what you love about it, instantly what you don't like about it. The other thing we do is quite regularly, well, semi-regularly, we get together. So Dre spent a month in New Zealand over summer here, and every day we got together in my studio, and we wrote tracks every day, and basically tried to start a new track each time we got together, because, you know, it's a limited amount of time, and we could finish them off over the following months. And then I was in the States for a month recently, and I stayed at Dre's house there, and I slept in the studio, and we started a track pretty much every day I was there. And I was there for about 14 days, and then we had a tour for about 14 or 15 days. So that's the dynamic between us. Is actually, in some ways, it's not that it's better, but it's very productive. We seem to get a lot done, and we like the results. We're happy with how stuff sounds. It's also good to be able to have moments in a track where, you know, you're collaborating and you're together and ideas are flowing and you're not thinking too much about anything apart from just the vibe. And then when you're by yourself working on a track, you get a lot more critical and sort of analytical of, like, how the mix sounds sounding and, you know, the details, you know, the stuff that really makes the track stand out. But you need that vibe as well, which is what happens when you're together and kind of just like throwing ideas at each other. Yeah, yeah, stop, record that. No, that sounds like shit. Get rid of it. Whatever. I mean, that's kind of, just, I guess there's two parts to it, and we've tried to make the best, I guess, of the situation of being spread by the Pacific Ocean. All right, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, coming up for Truth in the future, I mean, we're basically constantly on a semi-on tour. So currently Dre is in the States. He's just done, I think, 7 gigs in the last 10 days, and then, you know, in the coming months there'll be a bunch of gigs around New Zealand and Australia, ongoing gigs in the States, and then around September we'll be doing a Europe tour. So both of us will head over for Outlook Festival, which our favourite festival in the world, which is set in this crazy old 400-year-old fort in Croatia. and then touring around Europe based around that. As far as music is concerned, we're always busy, always making new stuff. We've actually been working on a bunch of stuff recently, which is kind of not really beat-oriented music. It's more kind of soundscapey kind of stuff. It's not aimed at people that want to go party. It's more trying to like get stuff which would vibe for like a video game or like a movie soundtrack, and I really want to kind of break into those fields at some point, because I think I'd love the challenge of like writing like the soundtrack to a game when you get given this concept and you're given a vibe, but you're not constrained by the idea that it has to make a dance floor move. So we've been working on stuff like that, just kind of figuring that out really, how it could work and how that would sound. Of course, we've been doing a lot of music for the dance floor as well. That's when we never stop. As far as releases go, we'll have another release this year on Deep Medi at some point. We haven't decided what tracks or when or who knows, It's just one of those things that's going to happen. Probably a fourth album as well. We've got enough tracks. We've been working on it. And we've been putting tracks aside, and it's just a matter of, finishing, I guess. Do we want to continue to mould more and more tracks and then pick the best ones? Or do we want to go with a theme? With the last album, we really looked at the theme. So with the next album, it's, do we mix it up or not? But we're constantly busy in the studio, so there'll be many more releases this year, I'm sure. Probably another EP as well at some point.
The first ever electronic music show on Howrekki. This is In It For The Kicks, 10 till midnight Friday nights. Radio Howrekki.